handeling aan Chof Zayin om het Bees bij de Mishnah. Mishnah says, Shavur Shalai Echol Kikozu, a person makes a Shavur that I won't eat this local bread. Shavur Shalai Echlana, Shavur Shalai Echlana, and then he repeats again, a Shavur that I won't eat it, and a third time, a Shavur that I won't eat it. We'll see in the Gemara why it needs to mention three times. That's the question. Ein Echayev Al Achas, the answer is he's only Chayev for one Shavur if he ends up eating it, because Ein Shavur Chol Al Shavur, as we've said before, because once it's also already, you can't make it more also.
And that's because of...
Because basically, Ein Yisur Chol Al Yisur. Once you have, you said the first Shavur that you're not going to eat it, then it means the second Shavur is not adding anything. You're just adding another Isser to the existing Isser. It's not Isser Kurl, it's not Isser Moisif, it's not anything. So therefore it doesn't count. Yeah. Doing Shavur,
this is the case. If Shavur Bittery, Shechayovan Ol Zoda Makas,
Korban Ol V'Yored, and if you did it B'Shogig, then you bring a Korban Ol V'Yored. The reason why we learned earlier in the Perek, the reason why we said Zuhi, we discussed over there what the Mishnah is coming to exclude by that. We said La Halacha, according to Rabbi Yochanan. That the Mishnah is saying Zuhi, implying that there's some other kind that you wouldn't be.
Right.
Specifically, we talked about earlier in the Perek that comes to exclude the case where, for example, you made a Shavua that you will eat it and you didn't end up eating it. The opposite of our Mishnah. Then you can't get Malkus because we said either because it's Asurah Suffolk or because it's a Lapshain Bemaisa. Okay. Well, it's one or the other, but yeah. All right. Then the Mishnah continues, which this next line really is going to be repeated in the next Mishnah, so some of them will probably take it out, but okay, whatever. Shavuot Shav Chayovan Al Zoyna Malkus, as opposed to a Shavuot Shav, which we're going to deal with in the next Mishnah on Choftes, a vain Shavuot, that one is Chayovan Al Zoyna Malkus. You are Chayav Malkus for such a Shavuot, same as for Shavuot's victory, but the difference is Valshagig got the potter, but if it was B'Shogig, then you're potter, as opposed to a Shavuot's victory where you would bring a carbon.
So the first Shavuot was
the first victory was a Shavuot's victory. For example, I swear that I won't eat this bread, and you ended up eating it.
And the second one
is a Shavuot's Shav. For example, this is not bread, this is meat,
okay.
Or and it's really bread, or the various other kinds. Yeah, whatever, the various other kinds of Shavuot Shav, Nishpal of Apple with a mitzvah is another example, whatever, yeah. Okay, fine. So the Gemara starts off. Lomali l'misni Shavuot Shalai Echol Shavuot Shalai Echlana. Why does the Mishnah have to, why is the Mishnah, before we get to the question why the Mishnah is repeating itself, we have to ask, the Mishnah started off by saying, Shalai Echol Kikerzu, that I won't eat this bread, and then it used a different expression, Shalai Echlana, that I won't eat it. Why the different expression? Lomli l'misni shavur shala echal shavur shala echlana. Why isn't it you? It has to repeat itself for reasons that we're going to see in a minute.
A repeat or is it something new?
That's the question. Why the difference in terminology? Let it say, for example, Rashi says, let it say twice, shavur shala echal shavur shala echal, yeah. Or three times, whatever, yeah. The answer is hakamash malan, yes, but that's what the Mishnah wants to inform. Taima du'ama shala echal v'hada amash shala echlana. Yes, but what the Mishnah is saying is the reason why the second Shavuot doesn't count is because he started saying that I won't eat, and then he said that I won't eat it. Now the difference
so,
is like,
I mean,
hold on, the difference is, no, the difference is Shaloi Oichal, no, because he said Shaloi Oichal Kikerzu, he said that I won't eat this loaf of bread. The difference is Shaloi Oichal, as we learned earlier in the Perek, means a Kazayit. As soon as he eats a Kazayit of that bread, he's already Chai. As opposed to Shaloi Echlenna means that I won't eat the whole thing. So therefore, it's only because it's in that order. Only because he said shaloi oichal, which means even a kazayas. V'hado amma shaloi echlana, and then he says, I won't eat it, meaning the whole loaf.
Deloi
mechayev. That's the point. Deloi mechayev. That's the point. He can't be chayev because the second shavua is not asking him in anything that he wasn't already offered. You can't eat the whole loaf without already going through eating a kazayas. But if it had been the other way around, if he had first said shaloi echlana, which would mean that a shavur that I won't eat the whole thing, and then he said v'hadu amar shaloi oichal. Then he said that I won't eat, meaning even a kizayis. Then mechayev tauti. Then in fact he would be chayev two korbanos correct or two malchus remaining.
That's not necessarily by the second one.
Exactly. Kidderava. And this is like what Rava says. The amar Rava shavur shaloi oichal kikazu. Like Rava says, if a person says a shavur that I won't eat this loaf of bread, then we say kiven sha'ochol men a kizayis chayev. As soon as he eats a kizayis of it, then already a kizayis is achila, as we said before. So therefore, that's it. He's already chayev. Shavur shaloi echlen, no. But if he says that I won't eat it, ain't a chayev at sheyechol, it's cooler, then he's only chayev if he actually eats the whole thing. Because echlen, no, implies that I'll eat the entire thing. So So the Mishnah is implying that distinction. Tosfos actually no, because then he would say shaloi oichal kikurzu. Oichlena implies the entire thing.
From it.
No, shaloi oichal mimeno. Then he would say whatever. Shaloi oichlena means that I won't eat the entire thing, but I am still allowing myself to eat less than the entire thing. Tosfos later on near the end of the parak discusses briefly the question: is there a difference maybe between what if he were to say the shavur and the positive? What if he were to say that I will eat it? Is there the same distinction that there's a difference between sha'oichal, meaning that I'll eat the zayis, versus sha'ichlana, meaning that I'll eat the whole thing? Maybe or maybe not.
Well, maybe not.
Maybe not. Well, based on a Gemara later on, the Gemara later on talks about what if a person makes a shavur that I will eat this bread and later on that I won't eat it. Shavur sha'oichal kikurzu, shavur sha'loyechlan.
No,
because if he says sha'oichal kikurzu, implies that he's going to eat at least the kazayas of it. Sha'loyechlana, right. So if we're saying sha'loyechlana, then if we're saying that sha'loyechlana means I won't eat the entire thing, but, so that's the thing. So that's Tosfos says, since the Gemara is saying over there that the second one is a shavur shav, implying it's not possible for it to be chal, so maybe the difference is, once he said sha'oichal kikurzu, maybe sha'oichal kikurzu does not just imply that he eats that. Maybe sha'oichal kikurzu implies that he'll eat the entire thing. Unlike sha'loyachal, which would mean only a kizayim. Okay.
Sha'oichal
kikurzu maybe would mean the entire thing.
Okay.
Then the Mishnah continued. Shavur sha'loyachlana va'ochla in a chayv al achas kula. Then the Mishnah continued that he says shavur sha'loyachlana and repeated it because we said twice shavur sha'loyachlana. Then we said he's only chayv if he ate the whole thing. Then we said that no matter how many times he repeated it, he's only chayv one time. Right. So the question is, why does the mission need to add that second one? Once we already have the second time, once we already said shavur sha'loyachlana, we already know the chiddush that we said in the previous part. What else are we adding by this third time? The answer is Hokamash Malan. The point the Mishnah wants to tell us is Chiyuvahu Deleka HaShavur Ika. The Chiyuv does not exist for the third one. However, the Shavur in and of itself exists. Namely, Deimashkachas Ravcha, if the third Shavur were to find room to be able to be Chal, namely, if you were to be Matur Neder, the earlier ones, Chayla, then the third one would be Chal. If we had said, that if the Mishnah hadn't told us, we would think when you repeat the exact same shavua again, shavur shaloyechlana, which we said has exactly the same effect, then you would think that the third one has absolutely no effect. The shavur is the third time, the second time that he said shavur shaloyechlana, which is just a repeat of the second of the first time that he said that. So it should have no effect at all. Even if you were to be Matur Neder, the first Shavur, or the second Shavur, or whatever, the third one should not be able to be Chal. No, what we're saying is the third Shavur is kind of suspended there in the air. It's waiting for an opportunity to be Chal. And if you're Matur Neder, if you're Matur Neder on the earlier ones, then the new one will be Chal.
So it's not completely canceled,
exactly. The Maihu. And that's the relevance. For my hilsa, what is that relevant as far as halacha? L'chidu Rava, it's relevant to teach us what Rava says. V'amar Rava, she'im nishal ala rishayna, also le'shniya tachter. Namely, that if he were to be Matur Neder on the first one, then the second one takes its place. And the same way, if he's Matur Neder on the first two, then the third one takes its place. Because what happens is, it actually explains, as we've learned before, that when a chacham is Matur Neder, he's oikum the ikra. He makes it as if the original Neder never existed. So therefore, that meant
he had known that it would.
If he had known, then he wouldn't have made that net or whatever. So the only thing preventing the last shavur shaloyechlana from being chal was the fact that there was already a prior netter of the same kind. Well, once you remove that prior netter, it's as if it never existed. Then it can be chal.
The point was that the Mishnah didn't just say chayav achas, it said ene chayav ela achas.
So therefore, the implication is that both of them exist as shavuos. Just practically speaking, you can only be chayav for one of them at a time.
Until the other one is removed.
All right, the Gemara says, Lema Messiah. Okay, can we say that we can support, that we can prove what Rava is saying from a case as follows, that we learned in Masechta Nazir? Mishan Nader Beis Nezirus. If you have a case of a person made a neder of two periods of Nezirus, each one Stam being of 30 days, as we learned back in Nazir. Umana Rishon. Now he counted out the first one. He for the 30 days he kept all the dinim of Nezirus. The Hifrish Alei Korban. Then he designated a Korban. And then va'achakach nishal al rishona. Then he goes to a chacham to be matir neder for the first one. So he's already kept the 30 days. Now he goes and is matir neder at the end of it after the 30 days have passed to be matir neder. We're going to see later on. We're going to discuss on chachet how that's possible. If the neder is already over, what are you being matir? We'll deal with that soon. But first let's deal with the actual.
No.
They're talking about he's being matir the first one. But also, like Shnia Barishayna. Yeah, that's what we have to figure out later. But what happens is, therefore, the second one counts in place of the first one. In other words, the 30 days, he wasn't Matir Neder the second one. He was only Matir Neder the first one. So therefore, what we do is we take the second one and apply it to the 30 days that have already passed. Therefore, even in other words, he designated as Korban that he had in mind when he designated it that he's going to use it for his first Nezirus. We don't say you have to redesignate it for the second one or whatever. No, the second one automatically takes place as the first because, on the face of it, it's the same idea as what Rava is saying. The second one couldn't be chal until the first one is finished. Now that the first one is removed from the picture because he was matir neder, then therefore the second one falls into place. Doesn't matter. It's in Nezirus is Nezirus. It's vaguely similar to what we said in the first paragraph where we said that. Yeah, it was vaguely similar to what we said that shame tuma achati that you have a korban for one type of tumas mikdash v'kodshav can be used for a different one. Here it's a similar idea. Nezirus is Nezirus. So on the face of it, then that braisa proves Rava's point that because what was preventing the second one from being chal was the first one. Once the first one is out of the way, then the second one is able to have been chal on those 30 days.
Nezirus is considered a shvur.
Nezirus is a neder actually, but nedarim and shvurs for many purposes are similar. We've talked in the parak. We've talked different. There are a number of differences between them, but broadly they have certain similarities. The Gemara says though, hachi hashta. How are you thinking to compare these two cases? Hosam Nezirus Mia Issa. In those cases, in that case involving the two Nezirus, the fact of the matter is both Nezirusin exist. Once he finishes the first one, he has to count the second one. Eventually the second one is going to take place. If he's never matter. Right, but how are you comparing them? Because Nezirus Mia Issa. The second Nezirus does exist already in potential, not just if you master the first Neder. Dechimoni L'Rishayna, once he finishes counting the first one and brings his Karbanos, Boy Meheder Mimna L'Shnia. He has to go and start counting again for the second one. Beloy Sheva. And that's true whether or not he's master Neder. Ha Shavuos Shnia Mi Issa Klal. Over here, when it comes to Shavuos, if you're not master Neder, the second one has no place to be Chal. Because it's only talking about this loaf of bread. So and the original Shavua is the Pashtus forever. So therefore the second one is gonna have no place to be chal unless you're Matir Neder. So it's not really comparable. With that said though, I mean so we have a so fine, we can't prove Rava's point from this Braisa. On the other hand, we also don't have anybody arguing with Rava or contradicting him. The halacha in the end is like it.
If there was someone to argue,
if there was,
there is nobody, by the way.
Because nobody argued. What Rava is saying is a din that's correct. We can't necessarily prove it from that, but I said that the din is nevertheless a din. Nishbar kick. What are you looking?
Nishbar kick of offer. If a person makes a shavua about a certain loaf of bread that he's not going to eat, and then he ended up eating it,
can he be matir neder? Im shir memena kizayis, if he had left over at least a kizayis of it.
Let me ask you a question before
yeah.
we go to that.
Yeah.
Can you matir a shvur once you violate it?
That's what we have to figure out. That's exactly what we're going to be discussing. So if there's a kizayis or more left over of it, nishal aleha, then he's able to be matir neder of it. And then the kizayis that's left is mutter to him. And Rashi goes on to say, as a matter of fact, and you can't say, therefore, that he was over the mafreya on having eaten the rest of it, because again, it comes out that there was no shavua here in the first place, and therefore, retroactively, it turns out he wasn't over on it.
That's if he said...
If he was matir neder, if there was at least a kizayis.
The whole kicker.
Yes, well, that's what we're talking about.
And therefore, when he had part of it...
No. We're not even talking about he said the whole kicker. He made a neder he's not going to eat this loaf of bread. But the neder applies individually to every kezias of it.
So that's the thing.
But as long as you have a kezias left, there is, because that's what it is. We said in the Mishnah that you eat a kezias of it. We said earlier in the Perek, you eat a kezias of it, you're already chayav. But here, as long as there's a kezias left, you're able to be matir neder. There is what to be matir neder on. Achla kula ein nishal aleha. But if you ate the whole thing, then you can't be matir neder on it. Tosfos discusses what about if there's less than a kezias. Because Tosfos says, now the Gemara itself is going to take up this point about if it's less than a kezias, but here Tosfos is talking about, in this stage of the discussion, at least, that if there's less than, if there's less than a kezias, then you would already say he's chayev for it. Even if he, and Tosfos says, even if he didn't say shaloyech lana, even if he said shaloyech lana, meaning that I won't eat the whole thing, because inevitably, when a person eats, there's always crumbs left. So you can't say shaloyech lana means there won't be even a single crumb left. So therefore, if there's less than a kezias, you can already say he's chayev for having violated a shvur, even if it's shloyech lena, that I'm not going to eat the whole thing.
Because of the crumbs?
Because crumbs aren't considered significant. Yeah. Either, that's the point. Either a crumb
left. You have the crumbs in mind. When
yeah, exactly. When he said shloyech lena, means I won't eat the whole thing in the way that people normally eat. Omelet of Acha Breda Rav Lerabashi, Hechidomi, but what's the scenario over here? So here's your question. What was the scenario? What did he say? Shaloi oichal, that I won't eat, or shaloi echlan, no, that I won't eat it? Ida omer shaloi oichal, if it's that he said I won't eat, because I is kama abdele yisure. If the case is that he said shaloi oichal, then because I is kama abdele yisure, as soon as he ate the first kezias, he already was over on it. How can you say that he wasn't, how can you say that because you're matir neder now, it turns out that he wasn't over? And if he said that I won't eat the whole thing, my kezayis, who cares whether it's a whole kezayis left over? I feel a kosher unami, even if there's a kosher left, because you still have something of it left. So again, here's where so it is true. Tosfos is pointing out if you have less than a kezayis, you can argue that doesn't necessarily contradict the shaloyech lana, but Rav Acha Breda Rava is arguing maybe it should. The fact of the matter is, he said shaloyech lena. Like this, you have fun. Crumbs is one thing, but less than a kezias of a solid piece or whatever, maybe should make a difference. He wasn't over on it, and not only he was over. Therefore, we should say he should still be able to be matir neder to be matir himself to eat the rest of it. Interesting thing, by the way, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out. You might argue over here. You wouldn't even say over here that you wouldn't even say over here that chatzi shir. You wouldn't even say that the Rambam writes when you make a neder or a shvu or whatever not to eat, let's say, an entire kezayis, then you're still not allowed to eat a half a kezayis. Chatzi shir is still offered. However, in this case, maybe a chatzi shir wouldn't even be significant because there's nothing else for it to combine with. When we say chatzi shir is offered, if, let's say, you ate a half a kezayis of the bread, we're conceivably later on you could end up eating the other half a kezayis and be chayav. Here, there's no other half a kezayis left of this bread.
Yeah, why would you be chayav on a half kezayis if you?
That's the point. We wouldn't say you're chayav. We would say you also to eat that remaining half kezayis, and therefore maybe there's still what to be matir neder on. The answer is You can understand this. The answer is that you can understand Rava's scenario in either way. You can understand his din as applying to the case where he said shaloi oichal, which means that it's kezayis at a time, and you can understand that as referring to the case of shaloi echlena, that it means the entire bread. You can say that it's talking about the case where he said shaloi oichal, that I won't eat, which means every kezayis he eats is over. However, Migoy de Mahandula Shela, Kazayas Basra, but since the Shela, since being Matur Neder, will allow him now to eat that last Kazayas, because there's a Kazayas there left, so therefore that's significant, and now he becomes Mutter to eat it. Mahandula Shela, Namia Kazayas Kama, therefore, retroactively, the Shela ends up helping him, the being Matur Neder. Again, the Chacham is Oker the Neder to begin with. That's when it's Oker we're talking about. Since the Chacham is Oker the Neder, retroactively, so it turns out there was no shavur there at all. So therefore, it turns out that the original kezias that he ate was not be'isr. Okay, it might be, we should say, I mean, when we say not be'isr, I mean, we can still say he needs a kapara for it, but we're not going to say to the extent that he needs a korban if it was b'shogig, or malchus if it was b'mezid. He'll need to do tshuva for him.
Remind me, what did we say it was retroactive?
We learned in Nedarim. We learned that the difference between a chacham's hataras Nedarim and a father's or a husband's hataras Nedarim is hafara is only from now on. Guy is the Gemara used the expression like cuts it off from now on. Whereas a chacham's is retroactive.
So where did we get it from? I forget.
It's a logical thing. When the Chacham says, what happens? You go to a Chacham, you say, if I had realized the circumstances or whatever, I wouldn't have made this neder. Therefore, it turns out it was, to begin with, it turns out it was betos. And a neder betos is not a neder. As opposed to a father or a husband, it has nothing to do with not wanting it in the first place. He decides now, I don't want this neder, and boom, I veto this neder, and boom, it's
from
gone. But only from now on, yeah. We talked about, by the way, also in Ksubas, we had a topic over there that, for example, if you have, we learned over there a man is Makadish, a woman, it turns out she had Mumin or Nedarim. So we said, if the Nedarim, if she went to a Chacham and was Matur them, no problem, it doesn't affect the Kiddushin, because the Chacham takes away the Nedar Meishra, takes it away to begin with. As opposed to Mumin, she goes to a doctor and heals him, fine, but up until now, at the time of the Kiddushin, she still had the Mumin. So therefore, the husband wouldn't have wanted those Mumin, then yeah. So therefore, that's how we can understand it if we say that it's talking about Shaloi Oichal, because when the Chacham is Matar the Neder, he's Matar it that the Neder never existed in the first place. Therefore, it helps for the last Kezayis, and it ends up retroactively helping him for the first Kezayis as well. The Boisem Shaloi Oichlana, or we can answer that Rava's case is talking about a case where he said Shaloi Oichlana, that I won't eat it, meaning the entire loaf of bread, so therefore he's only over when he eats the entire loaf. However, Ishiyu Kezayis, but if he left over a Kezayis, then it's significant enough to be matzah neder for. If not, then it's not considered significant enough to be matzah neder on.
If there's less than a kezayis,
then it's not considered choshuv enough. Yeah.
So kosher can either mean that it's not kosher enough as part of the original object, or it can mean it's not kosher enough to be the subject of Atara Tzedarim, whatever it is, the point is.
It's less than a kezayis, yeah. So therefore, so we can understand Rava's scenario, or we can understand Rava's case in either of these scenarios. However, the Gemara says, Meisvi, I have a contradiction to this idea that you're not able to be Matir and Neder after it was already finished. Again, from our case of Nazir from before, the case of the two Nazirs. Misha Nader Shtei Nazirus, case again where a person declared two terms of Nazirus,
successive,
he finished counting off the first one, Vihitvashalaya Karban, he set aside the Karban for it, and that some of the Rishonim, I think the Ritva, talk about that the Gemara may have assumed at this point that Hitvashalaya means maybe he already even brought the Karban.
Okay.
Then he goes to
a Chacham and his Matir Neder for the first one. Also, a Shnei B'Rishayna, we said the second one counts in place of the first one. Why should it count at that point?
His Nazirus is already finished at this point. According to what Rava is saying, that's part of what we're going to answer.
But at this point, the Gemara is assuming that at this point the Nazirus is over already. So what's left there to be Matir Neder on? Yeah. The answer is Chacham Ma'askin and B'Shalei Kippur. Yes, but the case we're talking about over here is that he hadn't actually brought the carbon yet. So therefore, you still have something outstanding from the nether, namely the carbon. So therefore, it's still considered. It's the equivalent of there being a kezayis left over of the bread, and therefore you're still able to be matzah neder.
Once he's brought the carbon.
Well, that's the question. Well, Tanya Kippur. But what about, though, we have another bride that says the same thing applies even if he did bring the carbon? The answer is we can answer that second braisa is talking about the case where he always brought his karbonis, but he hadn't yet shaved his hair.
This braisa would go, according the second braisa that said kippur, would be talking according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the nazir has not completed his nazirus and is not allowed to drink wine and become tamimes until he shaves his hair. As opposed to the chacham, say once he brings his karbonis, then already he's allowed. He has to do the tiglachas. It's still a mitzvah for him to do it. But if he doesn't do the tiglachas, he's still allowed to drink wine. He's still able to be tamimes. Yeah. So therefore, again,
to
have a kapara, because you didn't shave, and after you brought the korban, and you drank.
No, according to the Chachamim, he still has a mitzvah to shave. If he didn't, then he's missing out on a mitzvah. But that doesn't prevent anything, right? So as long as he brought his korban, yeah. So again, according to Rabbi Yezir, you would say there's still something outstanding of his nazirus over here. You still have that. He's still also in wine and tumas mess until he shaves.
According to Rabbi
Yezir. Okay, well, Tanya Gilach, but we have yet another braisa that says even if he already shaved, he's able to be matzah neder. Now, at that point, what is there left to do? No, even a point of the other holds once you shave, you mutter and everything. So what is there left at that point? What is there left of the original Naziris to be mater neder on? So Omar Ravashi, so Ravashi answers, there's a difference between that and the case of a hero of the bread. Naziris karamis? Are you trying to bring a contradiction from a case of Naziris? Again, Naziris is somewhat different than bread in a similar way that we said before. That Naziris is, before we said that the second Naziris is able to be chal after the first one. You don't need Hataras Nadarim in order for the second one to be chal. Whereas when it comes to bread, you need the Hataras Nadarim in order to remove the first one before you can apply the second one. Here, we're going to say kind of the other way around. Mi garam l'shniya shalai tachol, what is it that causes that the second one has not yet been chal? That we're going to say,
the second term of Naziris.
What makes us say that it hasn't yet taken effect? Rishayna. The first one was there.
Well, the Ena. Now at this point, it's gone because he did have Taras Hadar on it. So therefore, it turns out that the first one, in effect, still exists at the time when he goes through Machaneb. Because the first one, he counted off all the days. But now we're going to end up saying that those second days apply to the second one. Therefore, in effect, the first one still exists. It's still
hanging there in the air.
And therefore, he's able to be mapped together on it. Because we're going to apply to the second one, right? So therefore, it's not comparable to the case of the hero when the actual physical breath that he made the nether on is already gone.
And there's less than a kazayas of it. You can't say that you mastered nether because the breath itself is gone. It's not hanging there in the air anymore.
As opposed to
the zero, where it is, yeah. There are a number of different variations of how the Rishonim explain exactly the business of a hero. How exactly, when does the second one, when up to what point does the first one still exist? At what point does it disappear and give way to the second one? But there's different nuances in how we understand the Gemara over here. But that's the gist of it, basically.
So
that's the difference. So when it comes to Nizirus, yes, you can say that even after he brought his korbanos even after he designated his korbanos and brought them and shaved everything, nevertheless, though, you're still able to be matir neder on the first one, because now at that point we'll say that the first one becomes the second one, and therefore the first one still exists over there, and we're able to be matir neder on it.
The first one becomes the second one.
The 30 days that he counted become the second one.
Right.
Now, in effect, you still have an unfulfilled first one at this point. Right. You still have an unfulfilled first
so
one, and an unfulfilled first one, he can be matir, as opposed to over here with the bread. Okay. Amema Omer. Amema, though, disagrees with this whole premise of Ravas, that you can only be Matir Neder while at least the Kazayas of the bread exists. Amema says, no. Afilo ochla kula nishal aleho. Even if he ate the whole thing, he can still be Matir Neder on it. E b'shoigig mechusa korban, because we can argue that if he had eaten it b'shoigig, there's still that he's lacking the korban, so therefore it's still considered there is something outstanding. There is still something outstanding from his neder, even though the actual bread itself is gone. But the chiyu for violating his neder. So before the Gemara didn't use that svara. The Rimi Gash explains the difference is a nazir, Rava, and then the explanation that the Gemara was giving on it didn't use that svara, because the Rimi Gash explains the difference is that with a nazir, the korban is an inseparable part of his nazirus. At the end of his nazirus, to finish off his term of nazirus requires korbanos. With a shvua, the fact that he brings
a korban to show you, the fact that he gets malchus for neder, is not an inescapable result of the shvua. It's only the oran to show you that it is.
That is the case, maybe. Therefore, Rava and the sugya up until now didn't take the view that the korban or the malchus still being outstanding can still be considered that there's something left of the shvua. But Amema does think that. Right. He says that it still is.
Consistently part of the
shvur. Not so much. I mean, he agrees.
Violated.
He agrees still that it's not an inescapable part of the shvur. The fact is, you're not going to bring a korban unless you're over on the shvur. Nevertheless, though, he still says when it happens that you have to bring one, it can still be considered part of the shvur, and therefore there's what to be matzah neder on. Ibn Mezid mechusa malchus, and you also have the case where he ate it b'mezid. You still have that he's lacking malchus. So therefore, again, there's what to be matzah neder on to save himself from the korban or to save himself from malchus. Now he has to get Malchus. Well, right, he would have to get Malchus. Therefore, if at that point he goes and is Master Neder, then it's okay. He'll be called to Malchus. Aval, but a Mema
Rebbe wouldn't
agree, obviously, right. Avok for Suhu, Allah Omud Loy. However, a Mema continues, if they already actually got to the point of tying him to the post. We learned at the end of Marcus how they give the person Marcus is they how they give the person Malchus is they have a post on the ground and they tie his hand to the two sides of it and he's half bent over and then they give him pet. Then not. And the reason
he didn't get Marcus.
Why? The Shmuel. The reason is because of what Shmuel said. Da'amah Shmuel kfasu ala amud v'rot mebeis din pato. Because we learned in Marcus over there that Shmuel said if they tied him to the pillar over there and then he ran away from beis din, he cut the ropes and ran away from beis din,
right.
Then he's pato from Malchus. So therefore, by the time when he gets tied, in other words, when he gets tied to the post over there, it can be considered already the beginning of Malchus. Therefore, it's too late. However, the Gemara says v'loihi. That's not a valid comparison. Because the difference is hasam rot, hachaloi rot. Because the difference is, in that case, he ran away, and therefore that itself was his bizoyan, the running away. We learned in Marcus, at the end of Marcus. Well, he's hacked because we say they rip off his clothing, but I don't know if they do that before or after they tie him. But no, that's not the point. The point is not that he's running away without his shirt on. The point is that the very fact that he's running away from Beis Din itself is a bizoyan. We learned over there in Marcus, when Nikla Kikalai Nefa, the object of Malchus is to degrade him in everybody's eyes, and then once he's degraded, then he's had his kapara, and then he's called a chicha again. So therefore, like this, he had his degradation already running away from Beis Din. Therefore, you can argue that's considered that takes the place of Malchus. But over here, where they only tied him, you can't necessarily say that that's considered already the beginning of the Malchus process. It isn't necessarily, and therefore you could say maybe even it could be Matan Neder at that point. The Rimi Gash explains it a little bit differently, that when we say that he runs away from Beis Din, he's potter from Malchus, all it means is not that he's technically potter from Malchus. Beis Din is not obligated to send somebody to run after him and catch him. Over here, there's nobody to send after him. He didn't run away. He's standing right there on the Amud, and therefore, the Malchus have yet to be given. Therefore, we can argue that there's still room to be Matan Neder. Now we're going to have a case which is a little bit complicated. And you have not only you have a lot of moving parts in the Gemara, a lot of different details to keep track of, but on top of that you have Rashi and Tosfos and Rabbeinu Hanano and the Rimi Gash and the Rambam all have varying ways of explaining the scenarios and different Gersos and all. So we'll do our best to keep it straight. Amar Rava, Shvua shel oichal kikar zu im oichal zu. Person says, a shvur that I won't eat this loaf of bread if I eat that one. So he has two different loaves of bread. One of them he's not actually asking himself to eat. He's using it as a tnai for the other one. To keep things simple, we might use the Rambam phrases it as you have a small loaf and a large loaf. And he says, if I eat the small loaf, I will be also to eat the large loaf.
And only then.
And only then, right.
If I eat the small one, then I'm asking
myself to eat the large one. Now, the point is, Rashi says, what it means is, what happens is like this. When you make a shvur like that based on a tnai, the shvur is not actually chal.
The shvur is not chal when you say the shvur.
The shvur is chal, Rashi says, when you do the first thing.
Which is
to eat the small one. Now, so we're going to deal with among the moving parts that we're going to deal with is what order you ate them. But let's say, right, the simplest example is you ate the small one first, and now you become also in the large one. So therefore, Rashi is saying, only when you eat the small one, that's the first maisa, only at that point is considered that now that's the time of the shavua. Now, we learned before in the parak, we said that you only chayav a korban for a shavua if you knew at the time, if you were ha'odam b'shavua, that you knew at the time that your shavua is taking effect. We talked about before that it's not libay onsay, not where you mistakenly thought that the facts are different than they are.
But wait a minute. Let's say he eats the chosen one,
So that's what we're going to deal with later. That's what we're going to deal with in Rashi and Tosfos and whatever. That's what we're going to deal with. Let's say he ate the large one first.
Right.
What happens? Right. So we'll get to that soon. Let's first deal with the simpler case where he eats the small one first. And then the Tanai is Chal. The point is, only at that point when the Tanai takes effect is when the Shavua is considered to take effect. So therefore, we have to know what's his mental state at that time. Is he Ha'adam B'Shavua at that point or not? So therefore,
Rashi
defines that the first one is the small one, the Tanai one. And the reason we're calling it the first one is because that's the order in which he's saying, if I eat this one, I'm also to eat that one. If I eat the small one, I'm also to eat the big one. So we can call the small one the first one. That's how Rashi learns. Well, again, we'll discuss later, that we'll discuss soon, that other Rishonim learned differently. So he ate the first one, the small one, the Tanai one. So if he ate it b'shogeg, meaning at the time he had forgotten the shavua, then it's not ha'adam b'shavua. No, the kicker that he made the tanai, the other one depends on it.
Right.
The small one, in other words. Again, the scenario is he said, if I eat the small one, I'll be also to eat the large one.
Right.
Hello? You came just in time. We're starting on the case over here, Shaloyach HaKikar Zuri Meichel Zu, and then trying to keep things straight over here. Okay. Okay. So again, you have the small one and you have the large one. The small one being the Tanai one and the large one being the Isser one, whatever we call it. So now what happens is, so again, the Shavua, says Rashi, is only Chal when he eats the first one, meaning the Tanai one.
The small one.
So only at that, we don't say the Shavua is Chal, we don't say we look at his mental state when he actually said the words, that he knows that it was a Shavua. We say we look at his mental state when he ate the first one.
That the Shavua also starts when he eats the second one.
Because as soon as he ate the Tanai one, as soon as he ate the small one, already the Shavua is Chal at that point. Then the Tanai has taken effect, therefore the Shavua. So now if he were to eat the second one, but the difference is if he ate the first one b'shogeg, meaning that at the time he ate the first one, he had forgotten the Shavua, then it's not Ha'adam b'Shavua. Then it's not Ha'adam b'Shavua. Then it's considered an Oinus. So therefore, even if he ate the second one, so therefore he ate the second one b'mezid, then he's potter. Potter meaning Rashi says completely potter.
Even from Malkus, because the shavua was never foul. Because at the time when the shavua was able to be foul, it was a shavua, and he was not out of the shavua.
Rishonim.
He ate less than a kazai. The first one.
Well, eating means a kazai.
Eating means a kazai.
You could also have the variation where he said shaloi echlena, that I won't eat it, where he said he has to eat the whole thing, but whatever. Yeah, here we're talking about plain old shaloi echal, meaning, okay. But if it was the other way around, if he had eaten the first one b'mezid, meaning when he ate the tanai one, the small one, he remembered the shavua, well then the shavua takes effect. He's ha'adam b'shavua. Therefore, he ate the second one. Therefore, the second, the first one was the Tanai one, right. The first one, he's not doing nothing wrong by eating the Tanai one. If he eats the second one, b'shogeg, then he's chayav a korban, because then you have the classic case where he was a hadam b'shavua, the shavua was chal, but then he was a shogeg when he ate the one that he was also to eat, so now he's going to be chayav a korban. Shtei and b'shogeg potter. What if he ate both of them b'shogeg?
Because the shavua took effect,
and therefore he was over on a shavua b'shogeg. Yeah. Now, Rashi, by the way, learned that if he were to eat them in reverse order, if he were to eat the big one first, then the small one, then there's no way he's going to be chayev. Then there's no way he's going to be chayev anyway, because you can't make him chayev retroactively.
Not that there's no shavua, but
you can't make him chayev retroactively. You can't say when he eats the tanai one, now we know retroactively the one he ate originally was aser. Okay, but nevertheless, at the time it wasn't, and therefore you can't be mechayiv a korban, and you can't be mechayiv a korban. You certainly can't be mechayiv a malchus. So you can't have asura for such a thing.
No, I mean, again,
You wouldn't say that he's high. You wouldn't say he's high of the technicalities that we're saying over here, Kurshma. Okay. Shteyan b'shoigig potter. If he ate both of them b'shoigig, then he's potter. Because again, when he ate the first one, it was b'shoigig, and the shavua couldn't be chal. So same thing. So the second one never. So the shavua on the second one never took effect. Shteyan b'mezid. Then it depends. Achle l'tnoi v'hader achle l'isurei. If he first ate the nine one more, and he knew at the time that the shavua is going to be chal, and then he ate the iser one also, then he ate the iser one also the mezid, and they actually gave matzah. Well, then mechayev. Then for sure he's chayev malchus. No question about that. So then they can definitely give matzah. Ach achle l'isurei v'hader achle l'tnoi. But if he ate the iser one first, if he ate the big one first, and then later on he ate the Tanai one, and both of them were amazed, that would be closer to the Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. That would be subject to the Machloikas Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish that we talked before about Hasra Sop. Because they can't give him Hasra, when they give him Hasra at the time of the big one, they can be telling him, don't eat the big one. If you eat it, and later on you end up eating the small one, then it comes out you were over on your shavua. Does such a thing work? Rabbi Yechanan says yes. Your shlokish says no.
Why would he be over on his shavua if he eats the big one first and then the second one?
If he eats the big one first, at that point the tanai hasn't taken place yet. But once he eats the small one, then the tanai has taken effect. Because remember, he said the big one is going to be also if I eat the small one. Meaning it doesn't matter the order. If I eat the small one, regardless what order, then the big one becomes also to me. So like this, when he eats the big one, they can give him a sloth of it, but at a point of the day,
but he's higher after eating the big one
if he's later on eats the small one. Well, according to the day, that's according to the shlokish. No, because that's sloth of it, and the shlokish says that's sloth of it doesn't work. Right.
According to both, it's really hard.
Yeah.
But he wasn't
there. Yeah, it's just a different way to look at Malchus. Lamanda on Hasra Sofik Shma Hasra, according to Rabbi Yechanan, who says that a Hasra Sofik is a valid Hasra Chayev. Lamanda on Malav Shma Hasra Potter. According to the opinion that it's not considered Hasra, the halacha is right, that Hasra Sofik is a valid Hasra. Yeah. According to the opinion of Rish Lakish, that a Hasra Sofik is not a valid Hasra, then he'd be Potter.
The Hasra Sofik.
That's a Sofik, because at the time he eats the big one, we don't know whether it's going to be Potter or not. Right. At the time he eats the big one, they can give him Asra, but they don't know whether it's going to be Asra yet,
right,
until he eats the small one.
Right.
So it's Asra, Asra,
right.
Yeah. So therefore, so Rish Lakish holds that doesn't work, Rabbi Yechanan holds it does. Okay, so all of that is Rashi's way of explaining the Sugya. Now, so you have a lot of others. Tosfos has you can see over here on Amud Aleph, you have a long Tosfos that discusses all the ins and outs of this issue. They have a few problems. They have a few problems with Rashi's explanation, and therefore they give two. They give two others. One is Rabbeinu Tam holds that unlike Rashi, who says that Rishon means the one of the Tanai, the small one, because the first one that comes in the sequence, so that if I eat this one, the other one is Osir. And we call, and Rashi calls the Isser one, the large one. Rabbeinu Tam says no. Whichever one you eat first is called the Rishon. Whichever one you eat second is called the Shnia. So therefore, if you ate them, why doesn't it make sense? Whichever one you ate first is Rishon. One is the Isser, one is the Tanai. But Rabbeinu Tam learns that Rishon means whichever one you ended up eating first is called the Rishon. And whichever one you ended up eating second is considered the shnia. So therefore, for example, so we said if you ate the first one b'shogeg and the second one b'mezid, would mean if the first one that you ate was the tanai one, then you potter for the reasons that Rashi said, because at the time you ate the tanai one, the shavua couldn't take effect because it was b'shogeg. But we're also saying, therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that if you ate the iser one b'shogeg and later on you ate the tanai one. Later on, you ate the Tanai one b'mezid. Then you're also potter because Tosfos brings over there because not shav me the osi. It's not you wouldn't have stayed away from it if you see that you ate the second one b'mezid. So obviously you knew that you're involving yourself in a shavua over here, and you still went and ate it anyway. So that's not called shav me the osi, and therefore you don't bring a korban to such a thing.
Rava says kikar zeh.
Yeah,
there has to be an order sequence.
Because he says kikar zoi.
Kikar zoi means the small one, the big one. Im oichal zoi. If I eat this one, meaning the small one.
So that's
but,
what I'm asking.
Okay, but it doesn't matter. According to everybody.
So according to the lesson of Gemara.
So
according to the second of
this night. Right, but so that's the thing. So in fact, there is such an explanation of it. Hanano has a somewhat different gusa in the Gemara over here, and he learns that the Rishoyna, he learns the opposite of Rashi, that the Rishoyna is the Isser one and the Shniya is the Tanai one.
That I understand.
Okay, but Renatam is explaining in Tosfos that it doesn't matter. We're not looking at, obviously, one of them is Tanai, one of them is Isser. The definition of Rishoyna is whichever one he ends up eating first. The definition of Shniya is whichever one he ends up eating second.
Even though he said Kikar Zoi.
I don't understand what your problem is with Kikar Zoi. All it means is he knows that there's one is a Tanai, one is an Isser. But we're asking what's considered when all Gemara says that he ate the Rishona B'Shogeg and the Shniya B'Mezid, what's the definition of Rishona, what's the definition of Shniya?
Rishona is the first one that he made the Tanai on.
Again, according to Rabbeinu Hanano, yes. According to Rashi, it's the other way around, because what we would say is Rishona means, even though he phrased it in that way, that I won't eat this one if I eat that one, but putting it in normal terminology, we would say, if I eat this one, I'm also to eat this one. Therefore, if I eat this one is the first one, and I'm also to eat this one would be the second one.
Right.
According to Rabbeinu Tam, we say that the definition of Rishona and Shniya is flexible. It depends which one he ends up eating first. We will call that for that first. Whichever one he... Okay, I think what you're misunderstanding is we're not saying that whichever one he ends up eating first becomes the Tanai one. We're saying whichever one he ends up eating first is called the Rishona. It could be the Tanai one, it could be the Isser one, it could be the small one, it could be the big one. But for purposes of our Gemara, for purposes of the din that Rava is saying, all we need to know is which one did he eat first and which one did he eat second, and what was his mental state when he ate the first one and what was his mental state when he ate the second one. Afterwards, we'll start figuring out, well, was the first one that he ate the Tanai one, or was it the Isser one, and was the second one he ate the Tanai one, or was it the Isser one?
Okay,
so that's a bit of time's explanation. Then Tosfos brings a whole different explanation basically agreeing with Rashi that the first and the second one, meaning the Tanai and the Isser one. But Tosfos learns basically that we only care about what his mental state was when he ate the Tanai one, whether he was b'shogeg or whether he was b'mezid. You can only to make him potter on the basis of onus that it wasn't an adam b'shavua. We only care about what he had in mind when he ate the Tanai one. And if he ate it b'shogeg, then he'll be potter.
Meaning what?
Meaning, in other words, therefore, so if he ate the Tanai one b'shogeg, whether he ate it first or second. Then, in other words, where this explanation of Tosfos disagrees with Rashi is, can you make him chayev l'mafreya? If he were to eat the Tanai one second, and he ate it b'mezid, and he were to have eaten the first one, namely the Isser one, b'shogeg, can you make him chayev a carbon? According to Tosfos, yes. According to Rashi, no, because you can't make him chayev retroactively.
And according to
Tosfos, you can. According to this, yeah. Then you have. I mentioned Rabbeinu Hananel has an opposite gusa in the Gemara over here, and the Rimi Gash and the Rambam have variations in their understanding of what the din comes out according to that. So it gets complicated basically. In the end, the Rambam paskins if you forgot the Tanai when you ate the small one, and then later on you ate the big one, b'mezid, you'll be chayev. If when you ate the small one, you remembered the Tanai, then later on you forgot and ate the big one, thinking that it's not osur, then you're potter. So the opposite of the gears that we have in the Gemara over here.
To be chayav,
according to the Rambam, when you ate the first one, you forgot the Tanai. Because also Meforshim explained that Rambam may understand chayav and potter in our over here as not referring to the korban, but rather referring to whether you chayav malchus. So therefore, all we need to know is that you eat. Did you eat the second one, the mazid? So all you need is that you ate the second, is that you ate the big one, the one, the Issa one, the maize.
Even though you
forgot the Tanai when you ate the small one. Because you ate the big one, because you ended up eating the big one, the maize, realizing retroactively that you had eaten the small one.
After you ate the small one, the shogeg, and you realize the big one is the big one?
It's not that you mixed up which one is the big one and which is the small one.
Right.
The shogeg meaning that at the time you ate the small one, you didn't realize this was going to trigger the Tanai and make you also to eat
right.
the big one. So even though you ate the small one and forgot the Tanai, if later on you eat the big one, the maize, that you're going to be chayev. And chayev can mean chayev malchus. That's how the Rambam brings the halacha. In Shulchan Aruch, they bring the various other opinions again that we have. We have four or five opinions among the Rishonim. So they mention the other. They mention the Shulchan Aruch mentions the other opinions as well. It's not so simple. Even in some of the cases where the Rambam learns Potter, or Gemara after all, or Girsa says Chayev, and therefore you shouldn't eat it in that case either. Okay. How about another case? Tlon Zubazu. What is You don't have one as a Tanai and one as an Isser. What if you made them interdependent? Loi Oichal Zu im Oichal Zu, Loi Oichal Zu im Oichal Zu. Each one, he says, if I eat one, I'm going to be also to eat the other one. Doesn't matter. Now they're both the same size. Yeah, well, obviously, but we have to go with the more complicated case. Okay. Im Oichal Zu v'Ochal Zodin Atma v'Shigas Chavera. So if he ate the first one, and then later on he ate the second one, Okay. Now he ate item number one, the Zodin Atma v'Shigas Chavera, which when he ate it, he was bemazed in the sense that he remembered that this is going to trigger his tonight, but he forgot that he forgot about Chavata. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi says that he remembered that he made a shavua that he'll be also if he eats the other one. He forgot that it was both ways around. He remembered that if I eat the other one, I know I'm going to be also to eat this one. But he forgets that it's the other way around also, that he also said, if I eat this one, I'm going to be also to eat that one. So he forgets, so he remembers that this one may be also if he eats the other one. He forgets that this one is triggering an iser on the other one. That's the difference. And the other way around it. So when he eats the other one again, he remembers that it itself could conceivably be also if he were to eat the other one. But he forgets that it triggered the other one. Also potter. He forgot both ways. Each one. When he ate it, he forgot. Right. In either of those cases, he's possible. On the other hand, if his forgetfulness was the other way around, but if it's the other way around, when he ate this one, he forgot that it itself was osur. He remembered that it triggers an issur on the other one.
Right.
And the other one, the same thing. He forgets that this one is osur. He remembers that it triggers an issur on the other one. Well, then, fine, he's a shogeg on his shvua, and then chayev. Then he'll be chayev on each one of them. Because then that classic case of being shogeg on a shavuot. Shtei and b'shogeg potter. Again, if he ate both of them b'shogeg, then he would be potter. Because again, when the shavuot was chal, when he ate the one which now triggers the issur on the other one, he was shogeg on that. Shtei and b'mezid. And if he eats them both b'mezid, ashniyah mechayev, the second one he's definitely going to be chayev for, because by the time that he eats the second one, it's definitely asura sabad, right?
The second one or the first second one?
The second, there's only two over here. Here there's no Tanai and Issur. Each one is a Tanai, each one is an Issur. So if he eats the chocolate one, and which triggers a Tanai, that then he's also to eat the vanilla one.
Right.
When he comes and eats the vanilla one, there's no question that he's chayev.
Right.
Malchus, if he does it, amazing. So if they give him asura, don't eat that vanilla one. If you do, you're going to be chayev malchus. There's no question that's a valid, that's a valid, that's a valid, that's a, that, there's no question that's a valid asura. Arishona, what about on the first one, can he be chayav malchus? Again, can they tell him, if you eat the chocolate one, then if you end up eating the vanilla one, you will have been retroactively also to eat the chocolate one? Does that work? Again, so did Rabbi and Rish Lakish. Again, it's the same machloket as before about Asurah Sopik, because that's what it is. It's a Sopik that right now, when he eats the chocolate one, whether he's going to end up eating the vanilla one, and therefore it'll turn out that he was also to eat the chocolate one.
If you believe this,
if you hold Asurah Sopik, then yes, it's nothing. Amr of Mori, Afa Nan Nami Tamena. So Mori says, actually, you can see this also from a Mishnah in Nedarim. This whole concept that we're saying that we're saying over here, that you make a shavua dependent on something else, it has to be that you remember when Tanai takes effect. It has to be that you remember your shavua. And if not, then it's not how. We can see that on the basis of something from Nedarim, where again, Nedarim and shavua have a lot of similarities. Namely, we learned in the Mishnah in Nedarim, Abba Nedarim Yitziru Chachamim. There are four types of Nedarim that the Chachamim were matir, where they said that you're not obligated to keep them. You still shouldn't make them just frivolously, but if you did, you're not chayav for them. Nidre Zeruzin, Nidre Havai, Nidre Shvogis, Nidre Oinsin, and Nidre Shvogis Ketzad. And among them, what are Nidre Shvogis? What's the definition of that? For example, a person says koinam imachalti vinchal. A person says a koinam that I'm going to after my I'm some such and such an item is going to be offered to me like a korban. Im achalti imshatiti. If I previously ate or I previously drank, he thinks at the time he makes this neder that he had not eaten. The nizka sha'ocha v'shasa, and later on he remembers that he had eaten and drunk. So therefore, is it neder chalana? Or she'eni oichel she'eni shoyse? Or if he says a neder that I won't eat, he says a neder such and such as also to me if I will eat today. She'eni oichel we have here in our Gemara, it brings on the side of a different here. So shani, Rashi has that here as well. Shani oichel shani shoyse that if I do eat or I do drink. So later on in the day he forgets and he eats and drinks, but and therefore triggers it. What? He says, if I eat today or if I drink today, then this object should be offered to me by a koinam, and later on in the day he forgets that he had made that tonight and he eats and drinks. In that case, in such cases, mutter. In that case, we say he's mutter. He's not obligated to keep his neder. V'toni alon, and we learn in a brayse on that. T'shem shenidre shigogus mutarin, just as nedarim of shigoga are mutter, as we just said. Kach shivu is shigogus mutarin. So also shivu that the shigoga is mutter. So therefore, that fits exactly with what Rava said, that a shgoga of a shvua is mutter. What's the scenario? Exactly what Rava was talking about, where you forgot at the time that the tanai took place, you forgot that there's a shvua.
Yeah, it's got a process with any of these demons tomorrow is a
thought. Sure, I guess. Okay.
Nah. Just
okay. And by the way, Rashi says it can't mean, for example, the only way to say koinam shani oichel means that it can't mean the person is asking himself to eat and drink, because of course what are you saying? He was over on it, and it can't be he's potter from malchus. There was no asurah. So obviously it has to be talking about the scenario that we were talking about where he said I'm going to be asur to do X if I eat or if I drink later today. In other words, it's not. Okay, so we have in parenthesis of it here, which Rashi takes it out. Shavur, Shagogas, Hechidomi. So what would be a scenario of Shavur, Shagogas? Lavki Hayagavna. Wouldn't it be an example like what Rava said? Shmami, no, that proves it. Rashi takes that out because we don't really need that. We have explicitly, the Gemara explains over there in Nedarim that Nidre Shagogas and Shavur, Shagogas are like what we talked about a couple of blocks ago about Rav Hanan and Rav Asi mistakenly making a Shavur that Rava said such and such. That's it. You don't need Rava's example over here is not the only example of Nidre Shagogas.
We had before,
because we had a couple of blocks ago, we had the same thing in the Nedarim about Rav Kahana and Rav Asi swearing that Rava said this or that Rava said that, and it turns out it was incorrect. So there are other examples of Nidre Shagogas. It's not like this is the only example, it's not like Rava's scenario is the only example of Nidre Shagogas that we can find. However, we see from the wording over there, Ashani Oichol, Sha'eni Oichol, Sha'eni Shoisa, that necessarily means a neder that involves a Tanai, And we said the same kind of thing with the Shavuot. So therefore, we see what Rava is saying, that when the Tanai takes place is when the Neder or the Shavuot is how, and it's at that point that you have to be knowing what's going on. You can't be showing it at that point. Gemara tells Eifa Toni Shavuot Spei Rava. Eifa, that's the name of one of the Chachamim. He had a brother who we're going to see now in the Gemara. Also Avimi, the two of them were the sons of Rachva. So this Eifa, Toni Shavuot Bei Rabbah, he learned Masechta Shavuot in Rabbah's yeshiva. Togabei Avimi Achua, one time his brother Avimi met him, Omale, and Avimi asked him, so here's a question in Hilchos Shavuot. Shavuot Shlo Yachalti, Shavuot Shlo Yachalti, Mahu, what is the person? Now we discussed in our Mishnah, no, so we said in our Mishnah, the person said Shavuot Shlo Ochal, Shavuot Shlo Ochal, we said it's not Chal because one Shavuot cannot be Chal on another. What if we said Shavuot Shlo Yachalti, Shavuot Shlo Yachalti, a Shavuot that I didn't eat in the past? What would it be? Amalei, so Eifa says, Ein Chayav Al Achas. Well, you're only going to be Chayav one. He mistakenly thought that that's parallel to our Mishnah, that Ein Shavuot Chal Al Shavuot. Amalei, Avimi tells him, Ishtabshes, you've made a mistake. Arayotah, Shavuot L'Sheker, because after all, he did say a Shavuot that was false. In our Mishnah, you're saying, fine, you can't have Ein Issu Chal Al Issu. Right, obviously. But over here, you can't, as soon as he said the first Shavuot, it was already a lie. That's gone. When he says the second one, it stands on its own. You can't pater him because of Ein Shavuot Chal Al Shavuot. That refers to Yisurim. Here we're talking about that. Okay. How about here's another one? Because he mistakenly thought that it's the same kind of thing. Ein Shavuot Chal Al Shavuot.
For the future, but not for the past.
Okay, so he didn't realize that distinction. Okay, another one. Shavuot Shal Ochel Tesha the Eser Mahu. What about a person who he made a shavuot that I won't eat nine of something, nine figs, let's say, Rashi says, and he made another shavuot afterwards that I won't eat ten, mahu, what would be the din? Do we say the second shavuot is chal or not? So he says, chayev, okolachos ma'achas. So Eifa says, yeah, he'll be chayev individually for each one, because on the face of it, the first one, the second one includes something the first one didn't. The first one said he's only astering himself in nine figs. The second one asters him in the tenth fig as well, so therefore,
he's
going, however, no, he says, amalei, ishtabshes. No, he says, again, you made a mistake. Itesha loy ochel, esha loy ochel. Because if you don't eat nine, you're never going to reach ten. So it's somewhat similar to what we said right after the Mishnah, where if you made a shavua that I won't eat this this whole loaf of bread, and later on you said that I won't eat a kazayas of it. Well, actually, it's actually the opposite, actually the converse of it, kind of. There we said I make a shavua, I'm not going to eat the whole loaf of bread. Then I make a shavua that I'm not going to eat a kazayas of it. We said you chayev individually for each one, because the second one adds something the first one did. But if it was the other way around, we said, and then we were medayek from the Mishnah, that if you said a shavuot that I won't eat a kazayas, and then a shavuot shalo yechlana, that I won't eat the whole thing, then we said it's only you only chayev for one shavuot, because you can't reach the whole loaf without going through the process of eating a kazayas. It's the same thing. You can't get to 10 without reaching 9 first. So therefore you can't say that the second shavuot is adding anything to the second one. You can't reach 10 unless you eat 9 first. Where, again, Eifa had not realized that point. Okay, what about the other way around? What about Esther the Tesha Mahu?
Let's say it's a kick out that has 9 and 10 has not. 10 has not, it's, yeah, I agree. But if it's 2 kikaris, 1 has 9.
We're not talking about 2 kikaris. No. We're talking about over here. He makes a shavuot that I'm not going to eat 9 figs.
Okay.
Later on, he makes a shavuot I'm not going to eat 10 figs.
Right.
So on the face of it, you should say, which is what Eifa was thinking, the first one is asking you to eat 9, the second one is adding a 10th fig, which before you would have been mutter, but the answer is, Rabimi tells him that no, you can't reach 10 without reaching 9, therefore the second shvor is not adding anything that the first one didn't get. How about the other way around? Esther v'tesha
ma'am. We're saying it's the same shvor?
We're saying, therefore, you'd only be chayev for the one shvor. Now, as Abaya said before, if you were machter neder the first one, then the second one will
right.
be chal. But as long as you weren't machter the first one, then the second one has no room to take effect. Okay. What about the other way around? Esther v'tesha mahu. What if he first made a shavu I won't eat 10 figs, and later on he made another shavu I won't eat 9 figs? What's the din? So Eifa says, ain't a chayev al achas. Okay, in that case, you'd only be chayev for one. Because you can't, exactly, right. So then in that case, then,
he
yeah. But again, Amalei is Shtabshus. But again, I think he tells him, you're wrong. Esther hu delay ochel, hotesha miya ochel. Because the fact is, after the first Shavuot, he was only offered to eat 10. He would have been mutter to eat, he would have been mutter to eat 9. Now, the second Shavuot is adding something new, that he's not going to eat even 9. Therefore, he has to have a separate thing for the second Shavuot. So as soon as he eats 9, he's chayiv for the second Shavuot. When he eats the 10th one. Yes, so therefore, yeah, so when he eats the 9, he's chayiv for the second Shavuot. Okay, so that's, yeah. Here they're both also on a Shavuot, but the second Shavuot is able to take effect because it's adding something that he wasn't also before. Yeah.
When you say 10 and 9?
When you say 10 and 9 in that order, right? Yeah. Because the second Shavuot, up until he said that I'm also to eat 9, he would have been mutter to eat 9. Well, maybe not mutter per se, because chassi shir, but at least he wouldn't have been chayiv. He wouldn't have been chayiv a korban
or
mal. No. That's what we're going to talk about. A case where that's what we're going to talk about. Omar Abaya, zimnin de mashkachas lo lahod eifa. So Abaya says, actually, I can find a case where Eifa's opinion would be correct.
Right.
Namely, kidemar, like what my rebbe, meaning rabba, said. The Omar Rabba, shvur shlo eifa to einim vano. There's a person made a shvur that I won't eat figs or that I won't eat. Figs and that I won't eat figs and grapes, which means, in other words, only if it's both. He'll only be over if he eats figs and grapes.
Right.
But if he eats figs by themselves, he'll be okay. Because of Amar Shvur Shalal Eichel Te'enim, later on he said a Shvur that I won't eat figs by themselves. V'achol Te'enim. So now he eats figs, and then he realizes that he had made a mistake. He was also on the basis of the second Shavuot to eat figs alone. The Hifrish Korban, he designated a Korban. So now, that thing, having eaten figs, is considered a separate thing of its own. Now, later on in the day, or later on, whatever, he ends up eating grapes alone. So now the grapes are effectively a Hafishir, because they don't combine together with the figs, because the figs were eaten before you designated as Korban. It's only a half a shear. Hachanami, so therefore Abaye says the same thing over here. You can have a scenario where he says 10 and later on he says 9, where you can't be mechayev him more than one carbon. Unlike in the normal case, Avimi is right. You would bring separate carbonus for having eaten 10, because one for having eaten 9, and the second one for having eaten the 10th one and being over on the first one. But in a case, in Abai's case, going to Amar Shvur Shalal Eichel Eser, suppose the person says a Shvur that I won't eat 10, because of Amar Shvur Shalal Eichel Tesha, then he says another Shvur that I won't eat 9, but Ochel Tesha Vehifrish Korban, he ate 9, then he designated a Korban, Vachakach Ochel Asiris, and then he ate the 10th one. So again, the 10th one is a chatishir. It doesn't combine with the previous 9, because for the previous 9, you'd already set aside a carbon. You can't be mechayev. Exactly. Well, chatishir doesn't mean half, it's a portion. In other words, you can't say, in other words, that when he ate that 10th one, you can't say that he was over on his first shavuot not to eat 10, because he didn't. He ate 9, that was a separate thing of its own, and now he ate only 1, and then 1 is not enough to be mechayev. So therefore, so that's the case where you'd have indeed that he only brings one curve and not two. So in that case, you could say that Eifa is that Eifa is correct.
But this wasn't the question.
No, but it's still. But he didn't mention a carbon, but nevertheless, you could still say that was the basis of Eifa's mistake, is he thought that once you have to realize, after all, I mean, even though Eifa is making these mistakes, even though Avimi still keeps on correcting him, he was a Talmud of Rava. It's not like he just came out of Seder or something. You know, I mean, he basically knew his stuff. He just, you know, there were these subtle details that were eluding him. But
can't you apply this case to the initial one? To eat 9 and then eat 10, and then 10 and 9.
So if he eats, so if he makes a shavuot for 9, and then he makes if he makes a shavuot for 9 and he eats 9, yeah, then later on, of course, the shavuot for 10 can be called. So in that case, it could work for that scenario also, because once the first one is out of the picture, then a new shavuot could be called. Yeah. Okay. So in that case, you can say that two out of the three cases that he asked him then are, yeah. Okay, Tosfos brings a different thing over here, which is that the original Girsa was the other way around. Not that we have here in our Gemara, because what Rashi has is the Girsa, that first he said a shavuot that I won't eat figs and grapes, and later on he said that I will only not eat figs. Tosfos brings the Girsa, the old Girsa, the other way around, that first he said a shavuot I won't eat figs, and later on he said a shavuot that I won't eat figs and grapes.
That's different.
So the question is, in that case, then what do you have as what do you have as far as chatzi shir? So Tosfos starts by saying maybe indeed he's talking about that he's swearing on a chatzi shir, as at the beginning of the parak, you're able to swear on less than a shir, and it's valid. So Tosfos says the difference is when it comes to the ten and the nine, any nine or ten random figs that you eat involve the shvur. Over here, when you first made a shvur that I'm not going to eat
anyway.
Over here, in the case of the figs and the grapes,
right.
Where again, Tosfos is learning, first you made a shvur only on figs, at that point, grapes will bechlal not also to you.
That's what I was asking.
Right.
Never mind
Kobanis. Well, one second. I mean, obviously we have to get back into Kobanis, but over here, the Isur B'chlal never applied to grapes. Therefore, so you're able to say once the Shavua is Chal on the grapes, then it's also Chal again on the figs. You can say, similar to what we had before in the Perek about Isur Kerlo. Once you have a new shvur that adds something new, that adds grapes, then it's also able to be chal again on the figs.
As opposed to the nine and the ten,
where any random nine that you eat already counts towards the ten.
Right, In the case of the figs and the grapes.
In the case of the figs and the grapes, when you made a shvur not to eat figs, at that point you were only also in figs.
Right.
You weren't also in grapes at all. Later on, when you say figs and grapes, then that now the shvur is definitely chal on the grapes, and therefore it can also be chal again on the figs.
It has to.
And that's what we're saying. So once you set aside a carbon for having eaten the figs, later on at that point the grapes are only a chatzi shir. In fact, with the 9 and 10 also, you could say that if you were to first say a shvur that I won't eat these particular 9 figs, and later on he says generically a shvur that I won't eat 10, then we could say the 10, right. unlike what we were saying before with Avimi and Epha, then we could say the second one would work because now it's able to be chal, because now not necessarily did you have to eat the first 9 in order to reach the 10. So therefore, the difference is, again, the difference whether he says generically 9 or whether he says these specific 9, where it's possible to reach the 10 via a different route.
If it's generically 9, then...
Then that's what the Gemara was saying before. You can't reach 10 without 9, so how is the second shvur going to be chal? But if he said these specific 9, then he could have eaten other ones and reached 10 that way, and therefore you can say each shvur is chal individually.